Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, according to recent figures, Ireland is among the countries with the highest internet use in the world, amounting to over 6 hours every single day per person. If you couple that with the fact that the rate of short-sightedness is estimated to rise by 50% by 2050, our eye health has never been more important. So with this in mind, I wanted to speak to some people in the business of eye care to get a sense of things. And I'm delighted to be joined by three people in this business, opticians, optometry. Firstly, I'd like to welcome Liz Grennan, a clinical optometrist with Optolase and member of the Council of Optometry for Ireland. Stephen Alwell is an optometrist. Oh my God, this is a hard word. And he's a director of Stephen Alwell Opticians down there in Longford. Stephen, you're very welcome. You. Mike Wiley, managing director of Dixon Hampenstall on Suffolk Street here in Dublin, also opticians. Much easier to say.
Yep.
So you're all very welcome to the program. Mm. Liz, I might start with you, Liz Grennan.
Yep.
You're working today, so well done on that. There's only a few of us left, Liz, that work on Saturday, so you're welcome to that special
lovely
club. Tell us a little bit about you and your business, if you would, Liz.
Well, I work for Optolase, and we provide both laser or lens replacement solutions for people who are looking to get rid of their glasses and contact lenses. So if they're just sort of sick and tired of the faff and the expense and breaking them and losing them, they're absolutely delighted when we can get rid of them and provide them solutions that allows them to see without needing anything, jump out of bed, see everything that they need to see. So that's where I am. But I have done work in community optometry. So I've worked as an independent optometrist for many years before that. So I've seen all walks of life.
Okay.
And everything.
So would you technically then be a competitor to the high street optician?
I think we offer a totally different product because people really want just choice. You know, I mean, I know Stephen and Mike will be exactly the same. You know, you're going to have patients who love their glasses, think it's a part of their personality. That's brilliant. They're never going to get rid of them. Others who are like, yeah, well, I want to see, but I don't like glasses, but I want contacts. And others who will be like, I don't want anything. I want to be able to get up in the morning, see everything, go to bed, not have to worry about cleaning lenses and things like that. So it's a different product that we offer. I mean, you know yourself, you know, you need choice in this world and people come into us for different reasons. So,
that's very interesting. Let's stay with us. And just before I introduce my next two guests, just if there's any texters out there, we've got three people here, optometrists, opticians, people who know about eyes, let's call them. And if you've got any questions for them, we'll definitely try and field a couple as we go. My next guest is Stephen Alwell. Stephen, you're from Longford, is where your business is.
Yes.
Alwell Opticians. Tell us a little bit about your story. You're not from Longford originally, I believe.
No,
you're a Cavan man.
I'm a Cavan man.
And there's not too many of them in Longford.
No, thankfully. But so my business is more of a smaller boutique opticians.
Okay.
So what we specialise in is providing a service to people so that they can show their personality, show their own individual style through the glasses that they wear and use their glasses to basically show off their personality, whether that be wild or whether...
Okay, we're going to chat about that in a minute because I'm a glasses wearer myself and I have some thoughts on the matter. But your own story, Stephen, you started in the recession. You basically needed a job, I think was the reason you set up the business. You started off maybe in the low cost end of things because that was the product that sold you. And you've maybe developed the value added proposition since then. So tell us all that.
Yeah, we've had quite an arc over the years. As you said, we started off as a very kind of low cost, high volume model because we started off the business in 2009. So mid-recession, and we wanted to provide something that people would want straight away and something that would basically be a viable business. In that kind of model, the low-cost model, we found that we weren't able to provide the service that right. was wanted, weren't able to look after people the way I would like to look after people. And so over the years, we've developed into a more service-centric model where we spend time with people. We basically give about 45 minutes to actually talk through people's issues, to look after their eyes, kind of find out everything we can about them, whether it's in their eye health or whether it's in the way that they like to wear glasses, be it their hobbies, be it their work, yeah. and how all that kind of comes together.
So your model now allows you to do that, and it's you get a higher spend and you can spend more time with people.
Absolutely. That's,
okay.
That's the way
Good
it works,
man.
Yeah.
All right, our next guest is sitting patiently here, Mike Wiley. He's from Dixon Hempelstall. What a great name.
Yes.
And much easier to say than optometrist. So, Mike, you're very welcome to
Thank
the
you.
Program. Your business is around a long number of years.
Yeah, so Dixon Hempelstall's is was established in 1908. So
wow.
We're one of the oldest businesses. I presume we're the oldest optometrists in the country at this stage. But so it started by two Thomases, Thomas Hempelstall and Thomas Dixon in 1908. They were kind of pioneers of their time, I suppose, because they were also into engineering equipment, weather stations. We used to have the weather station for the Irish Times on our building at the roof of Suffolk Street for many years, up
wow.
to the 1940s. But they were kind of pioneers. We're still in the building in Suffolk Street at the moment. And I suppose we've always adapted to new trends in optics. And that's really one of the main reasons why we're still here today.
And what are those trends, Mike? Well, if you look at the business today versus that traditional business that you mentioned.
I suppose that the trends that we've adapted to at the moment certainly is myopia management, which you talked about already, and also a dry eye clinic, which we've just opened in Suffolk Street.
Right.
It's a huge issue with dry eye to do with screens, air conditioning. You know, it's a huge problem for a lot of people at the moment. So we've adapted. They're the truest new things that we've opened in the last.
Okay. Liz, back to you. Some of the stats that I read out there in the intro around the increase in short-sightedness as a result of the way we live today, and Mike alluded to it there.
Yes.
The focus on screens, the relentless looking at your phone, looking at a computer screen. Is it seriously damaging, I suppose, our collective eyesight?
I think it's changing it. Whether it's damaging it, I think we're still investigating it, but it's definitely changing it. As optometrists, there's research going on all the time worldwide about this, whether it be the blue light from a screen or just the age of people using screens. You look around and there's lots of 2-year-olds, 1-year-olds in a buggy holding an iPhone. And this is, I think, as optoms, that might be a bit easier for you.
But well, thank you for that,
optoms,
Liz. Thank you for that.
As optoms, it might be it's good for us to sort of, I think we're in the community. It's good for us to, you know, see everybody if possible. There are good schemes in place, public schemes in place, but I think in my role on the Council of Optometry, we're really pushing for more sort of optometry-led observation of these things. So bringing the community optometrist more into the sort of healthcare system. So looking at the under-8s, there is quite a good scheme for under-8s around Ireland. And obviously under-8, we're looking for developmental changes in your eyes, how well you're seeing the board and things like that. But then once these children are being discharged from the hospital system, as it were, once they're over 8 to 16, there is a little bit of a void in the public health system. It's
yeah.
really a lottery geographically. And for us, exactly as you said, this myopia epidemic is sort of causing a lot more children to be myopic or short-sighted. So they're not seeing the board. They're not getting their potential. And we really need to improve the public health care. And that's where optometry really, I know Stephen and Mike will agree that we can really be there. I mean, we're very visible. We're in most villages, towns
yeah.
and things like that. So really, you know, it's just getting
okay.
into it and finding things
out. And thanks for saying that, because I'm sure a lot of parents with children are very concerned about.
Absolutely.
That issue.
And we hear it all the time, you know, and as I say, it's not a case of, oh, well, you can just pay for it. Maybe you can't pay for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are in the program for government. Money has been ring fenced for this, but unfortunately, it was ring fenced about 10 years ago and it still has to be put in place. So I think even more now, this really has to be moved forward because there is this sort of worldwide myopia epidemic. It's not Ireland, it's everywhere. It's just what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Yeah. Stay with us, Liz. I just want to bring Stephen back in. Maybe we might look at the eyewear piece, Stephen, the fashion around it. I think you go and you do your buying now in Europe. And tell us about how, and I think Mike attends these trade shows as well. So eyewear and the fashion bit, following the fashion curve, and again, I suppose, co-working with brands and all that sort of stuff. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we do travel abroad to the trade shows to have a look at basically what is current and what is now and what is up and coming in the eyewear industry, because everything is changing all the time. As you said, it follows the fashion curves. So you do have spring, summer collections. You do have autumn, winter collections in different brands. We try to follow as well, not your kind of high street marks, but your eyewear designers, people who spend all of their time designing eyewear.
So would these be, not to be brand specific, but the Oakleys, the Ray-Bans, those kind of brands?
Those brands to a certain extent, but more your kind of smaller designers who you may not actually have heard of, people like JF Ray, Gotti of Switzerland, and things like that, where basically all of their time goes to making eyewear that fits, eyewear that looks good, rather than eyewear that is designed for the mass market and a one-size-fits-all, where you might walk down the street and see your next door neighbour or your best friend wearing the same frame that you're wearing. We'd prefer to put you in something that marks you out as an
individual. Wow.
Something that screams Bobby.
It's interesting that there's three of us here, and there's two of us in the studio. As I said, Liz is working today, so she's not with us in studio, but we're all wearing glasses. And I don't know if I'm atypical or anything, but these glasses that I'm wearing are very focals. They're also whatever you call that, light sensitive, so they go dark in the sun. And I'm somebody who used to lose at least two or three pairs of glasses a year, an ideal customer perhaps.
Absolutely.
But now that, because I found the time I lost glasses most was when I was changing from regular glasses to sunglasses prescribed. So these are a manner from heaven for me. Are there other customers like me, Mike?
There is lots of customers like you, yes. I suppose the thing about varifocals is that people leave them on all day, every day. So the chances of losing them should be slim for most people. but yes, varifocals are great if you want to keep glasses on every day.
Can I ask you about the kind of sort of the marketing end of when you go to the opticians, the two-for-ones, the certain films that are added on? Like, it's like any business. Here's your bog standard offer. Mm-hmm. If you do this or you buy this, we can give you X, Y, and Z. Tell me a little bit about the psychology of getting people to spend more as they go to the optician.
I suppose it's all about sitting down and talking to them and explaining what these different coatings. There is lots of different coatings. The blue control coating, which is for screens. So for anyone sitting down, working at screen 6-8 hours a day, absolutely, it should be on your lenses. The sensitivity coating that you have, Bobby, if you don't want to have a second pair of sunglasses, they darken when you walk outside. So there's lots of different options, but it's about sitting down and explaining exactly what the coatings do and their purpose.
Yeah.
And I think most people, once it's explained to them correctly, they'll make up their own mind at the end of the day what they want.
Yeah, you find what you want.
Yeah.
Liz, back to you for a second, and I'm afraid we don't have as much time as I thought we had. But in terms of somebody getting eye surgery versus wearing glasses or wearing spectacles, what's the The major advantage is you don't have to have spectacles, but there's still a reluctance of people, maybe like myself, to go down that route.
Absolutely. Well, say, for example, yourself, most people, if they're over 40, they're in a pair of reading glasses or very focused. So what we're offering is lens replacement surgery. So same as if you were much older and had a cataract, we remove your lens, which is the only real bit that's changing your vision over 40, and we replace it with something artificial, an artificial lens, but it has exactly the right prescription in it. But right. It also has a very focus in it, so you will be able to see distance, middle, and close up. And I think a lot of patients will come in and they'll be like, oh, how long is it going to last? Lens replacement lasts forever. It's literally like we're freezing your vision in time. So you will be the 90-year-old in the nursing home reading the paper without your glasses.
Well, I hope I hope I live to 90, and I hope I'll be that person.
You won't be in a nursing home, but other than that.
Well, look,
and then, yeah,
exactly. Liz, thank you very much for joining us today. And keep up the good work. Also, thanks to Stephen Allwell down there in Longford, and indeed Mike Wiley of Dixon Hempelstall. Thank you all very much.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.